Hello and welcome to the Ship.Energy podcast. This is Mark Williams broadcasting to you from Cambridgeshire in the UK. I hope that wherever you are, you're enjoying a little bit of relaxation during August, and perhaps we can add to that with this week's podcast. My guest this week is Yuvraj Thakur, Commercial Vice President for Maritime Transport and the General Manager of Verifavia Technical Services. Verifavia is a worldwide independent environmental accredited verification, certification and auditing body for aviation, airports and maritime transport. Yuvraj is a qualified auditor for the EU Monitoring, Reporting and Validation Scheme and the IMO Data Collection System. He's also a hazmat expert. He's based in Chandigarh in India. He speaks English and Hindi. He's a marine engineer who has worked on various tanker and container ships. He holds a BTEC Marine Engineering degree from Maharashtra Academy of Naval Education and Training in Pune and an MBA degree in Global Logistics and Supply Chain Management from the Jain School of Global Management, where he worked in Singapore, Sydney and Dubai. Yuvraj has come to talk to us about the EU's MRV, Monitoring, Reporting and Validation Scheme, and to talk about what ship owners need to be thinking about already. And what the ramifications are for their data collection and data reporting requirements. So let's have a listen to what he has to say. So Yuvraj, you're welcome to the show. It's great to have you on.
Good morning, Mark. Thank you so much for inviting me to the show.
Well, you're very welcome and delighted to have you here. So just to introduce you and the business, for those who don't know it, please could you briefly introduce Verifavia?
Certainly, Mark. Thank you so much for the opportunity and towards the introduction of the group, you know, Verifavia, we are a part of Nomic Group. As you can see, the name verification is in our name, so which means that we are an independent verifier of carbon emissions, working under the EU MRV, IMO DCS regulations, and we also work on a few other environmental regulations like EXI, CII, and CSI. The focus, I understand, of this particular discussion is EU ETS, but what leads us to EU ETS is EU MRV. Verifavia as a company now has the experience of 5 years of verification season, and we've been consistently ranked amongst the top five verifiers of EU MRV data sets as per the independent Thetis platform that belongs to the European Commission. What we do differently is we have a very innovative approach, a streamlined procedure, a team of experts. All or most of our people are marine engineers or naval architects. And we have used technology in a way that, you know, we try to, you know, streamline the processes. And with the team of experts, we provide dashboards and other certain tools to the user. Just to complete, Verifavia is also a global accredited IHM expert hazmat company. We are approved by all the major classification societies. I know that is not the focus today, but we've been able to, you know, conduct close to 2,000 plus IHM maintenance surveys almost on in a span of 3 years. Verifavia, just to end, we are accredited by COFRAC as a global EU MRV verifier. We are also accredited by UCAS for UK MRV. And we are the first independent verifier to provide IMO DCS and CSI verification services. In all, just to amalgamate everything, we have more than 5,000 vessels under EU MRV, IMO DCS, EXI, CSI, CII, and I know there are a lot of short jargons right now, and inventory of hazardous material contracts. And we can go further into the details once we, you know, go into this conversation.
Thanks for that. That's really helpful. Of course, for those of us in shipping, people may not be aware that the EU MRV has been active in other sectors for a number of years already. This isn't a new regime.
Exactly. I mean, again, a little bit of background, which I might have missed. Verifavia comes from verification for aviation. And we have been an EU MRV and EU ETS verifier for the aviation sector since the year 2010. So it is our 13th year on this regulation. It is our 13th year in terms of, looking at the emissions data of airline companies, 5th year or 6th year looking at the emissions data of maritime companies. And we have very proudly almost 70% of market share on the aviation market and close to 12 to 15% of market share on the shipping independent verification market.
Thank you. So the EU has decided to introduce shipping into its emission trading scheme. So what sort of data is required of ship owners for that?
Great question again. The data that is required does not, like I mentioned, Mark, this the regulation is just a continuation of your EU MRV regulation. The requirements of the data do not change. The format of the data do not change. But what we would need as basic data is fuel consumption per fuel type. We would need arrival, departure date and time as per the principles of EU MRV requirements, which talk about voyages and not ending and starting of sea passages. We must provide that, or the ship owners must provide the time spent at sea for each voyage or each reporting period. They must provide the distance traveled, the cargo carried, and the transport work, which is a measure of work done by the ship in transporting cargo. This is again where the EU MRV or the EU ETS regulation is different from the IMO DCS or the CII regime. We go further into the details and ask for cargo carried and transport work to reach something called as GHG emissions. So GHG emissions in long term is not only carbon dioxide. EU ETS in the long run is also looking at nitrous oxide and methane emissions. So it will be an amalgamation of multiple gases and not just, you know, one gas where you will measure, you know, fuel consumption and multiply it by one emission factor.
Now, as I understand it, the ship owner or ship operator doesn't have to give data about the gas emissions, but about the fuel consumption. And then the EU calculates the gas emissions from that fuel consumption data. Is that correct?
Exactly. So again, multiple ways to do this. If what has happened or what the journey that we have looked at from a ship owner, ship manager point of view in the past few years is you would, if you're a small ship owner, say less than 10 vessels, you would like to use the independent platform provided by EMSA, which is called Thetis. So once you input data on the platform, and there are easy ways like an XML file to input data on that particular platform, the data gets calculated immediately and automatically. But bigger ship owners who would want to monitor their voyages, who would want to estimate their voyages, who would want to see the money effect now before booking a voyage, they have different tools, they have different systems, they have platforms created in-house or platforms which are provided by either verifiers or independent IT systems. For them to make these calculations themselves, and then submit it to an independent verifier like Verifavia. Once the calculations are submitted, eventually they are still updated on the EMSA Thetis platform where they are validated and approved.
I see. So so the process is get the data from your noon reports or from your operating data and get that independently verified, submit it to EMSA for validation, and then it goes through to the EU ETS.
Submit it to back to your verifier for validation and then report the data back to Commission.
I see. Okay, thank you. Yeah. So if this is the process, how do ship owners ensure that the data is acceptable? You know, as you said, ship owners can have data in multiple different formats and so on. Is there only one format in which the data is acceptable?
The data is acceptable eventually in one format, but again, we have to understand the regulation did not just start out of the blue in the year 2017. So end of 2016, early 2017, people were, you know, creating their monitoring plans and then selecting on, you know, which option or which method based on BDNs or your bunker fuel ratings or flow meters or direct measurements, you know, which method would you use to understand and monitor and report your data. So there are three aspects right now to this MRV scheme, which is now further, you know, transposed onto EU ETS scheme. But the monitoring, reporting and verification principles remain the same. And they start from creating and implementing a monitoring plan. They then go towards, when you're creating this monitoring plan, the ship owner, they must thoroughly understand the regulation. The regulation is updated regularly. The regulation confirms all the requirements and the regulations gives you indication of what you need to do. Then the third step after creating your monitoring plan is where we started this conversation, data collection and monitoring. So you must be able to create platforms or use robust systems to collect and monitor emissions related data, which is accurate, which is consistent, which has all the relevant parameters like fuel consumption, distance traveled, cargo information, time spent, transport work. And most important is you must independently validate the accuracy of this data independently in-house first before submitting it to an independent verifier. And finally, the data must be shared, something that Verifarway is not doing, reacting to the needs of the market. We have come up with APIs wherein your data as a ship operator can be shared on a click of a button to Verifarway. And they can then check the data and ensure reliability and compliance of data with the regulation. Once this is done, we could use multiple tools, for example, a blockchain platform to be able to log the data. We do not want to go in a situation wherein, in November, we go back to data and correct it. Something we saw initially, when the regulation was not very clear to the ship managers and operators. So, data collection, monitoring and locking after verification is important. As a ship owner, you must be able to measurement the accuracy of your data. The data should be able to, present, or your system should be able to present the anomalies or the discrepancies on the data. And finally, you must have a very clear internal review and documentation process around this data, because this data is now turning into money, turning into euros and dollars and pounds. This data is now turning into, this morning I read the number that 2026, the carbon bill for the industry is $10 billion. So the 10 billion euros, in fact. So the data will be, it has to be accurate, and it must undergo a very clear and thorough internal review process.
Great. Thank you. That's very, very thorough answer. Thank you. But it's a difficult subject for a lot of people who won't necessarily be data or technical experts. So it's really great to get that introduction. Of course, I should say for the sake of balance, there are, different independent verification agencies out there. But I think the key point for ship owners then is going to be, what steps should they be taking today? It's August 2023 as we're recording this, and there are 4 and a bit months left to get your data in order. So for me, with about 4 months to go before the shipping enters the ETS, what steps should ship owners be taking today to be best prepared for the new regime?
Again, very important question, Mark. And this is the question for the moment. Starting from 1st January 2024, shipping companies, they are mandated to closely monitor their GHGs, greenhouse gas emissions. The process must adhere to a very clear and revised monitoring plan and a very clear methodology for calculating your GHG emissions. Unfortunately, or as the nature of this industry is a bit last minute, the new delegated acts, they will be published by October 2023. So after October 2023, there would be needed a new plan that must be submitted and assessed by an independent verifier or your verifier, and eventually be approved by the administrating authority. So ensuring alignment of this plan and the method is of paramount importance. So you must know what is the plan, you must know what is the method, and you must create a process to be able to closely monitor your GHG emissions. Number two, and most important stuff that people should, or they can already start, using as a use case, or, checking their how robust their systems or platforms are, they can actually utilize historic emissions data and construct accurate estimates of emission allowances that are required. So you have 4 or 5 years of data right now. So there could be a forward-looking analysis that will, facilitate proactive management of the financial implication of your emission allowances. Just to give an example, if your vessel is trading on the same route in the same region, you could simply go back to last year and see that, hey, my vessel burned this particular amount of fuel oil, maybe a low sulfur area, this particular distance, this particular time spent at sea, and this would be my resulting carbon emissions. So this method is known as emissions allowances estimation. And to help the ship owners and ship operators, managers, charterers, whoever the audience is, Verifarway has come up with a EU ETS module wherein the module and the calculations are done automatically once you input data. So we have the dashboard, we have the module, and we have verification, which is an automated process readily available for the ship owner or operators or even charterers to take an advantage of. Most important is, what will happen to the charter party agreements going into 2024? So you would need, as a ship manager or cargo owner or ship owner, to be able to include cost clauses. Of course, agencies like BIMCO have already started doing this, but you would need to again review those agreements very clearly and include the cost clauses for the ship owners to proactively handle financial considerations that will be effectively due to them at the end of year 2024, early 2025. And finally, you must have an administering authority account. Again, there are different rules on where do you, which particular administering authority will oversee your company's emission compliance. And one important thing perhaps I missed is that as a company, you must also provide your fleet information and emission reports on the platform to the authority. You must provide your emission monitoring plans and data aggregation and reporting principles to the authority. So, you know, you must be aware of which authority you would fall under, and to streamline the management of emission allowances and associated transactions, you must be able to register an account as soon as possible, which perhaps the industry is waiting for October 23, when the delegated acts would be published.
And because the ETS has already been active for some years, most of those national authorities, if not all of those national authorities, are ready and waiting, I suppose, there.
Exactly. I mean, aviation, as you can, as we saw the market, 600 plus airlines who are already reporting to ETS, and 400 plus are reporting their data via Verifavia. On the nuclear power plant sector, there are at least 10 to 12 big power plants in each country, especially the bigger ones like Germany and France. So, you know, you have very clear processes. The need or, you know, the work that I perhaps EMSA or the commission is doing is to customize these processes according to the requirement of shipping, because this could be a very different, difficult and dicey industry. And I think that is why it took them 5 years to understand, how to present this back to the industry.
Do ship owners have to set up a separate bank account, do you know, for their ETS enrollment, if you like? Because they've obviously got to buy and sell carbon allowances. Does that entail having a dedicated bank account to do that?
No, to an effect, because we haven't seen aircraft owners do it. What would happen is, again, I've been mentioning the word independent as a verifier. So, you know, we are the world's biggest independent verifier because we are a non-classification body. What we do would not affect your ship operations versus a classification society. So what would happen is Verifavia would do its job by ending and saying that, hey, you have 200,000 tons of carbon emissions to be surrendered. And then you would need to go to an independent agency, which is named as Carbon Trader. So Carbon Traders would effectively be, trading on your behalf. And then all the nuances of that particular market, you know, the pricing, the hedging, the, what price do we want to book at, that those nuances will come into play. But you could set up accounts for your own needs. But from a regulatory point of view, you do not need to set up accounts. You just need to register under an administrating authority. And you need to, tie up with a carbon trader who would actually trade carbon on your behalf.
I see. So I imagine the carbon traders are all getting very excited and cancelling their Christmas holidays this year.
It would not effectively, it would not effectively have an issue during the Christmas holiday, because life would be about estimation first half of 2024. We've been very, shipping as an industry again, we talk a lot about the regulation. Imagine CII was the buzzword in beginning of 2023. But where are we now, 8 months down the line? Okay, CII is there, but it is on the side. So, like, my personal view is that perhaps during the year 2024, after the first two quarters or something, people will be like, will wake up to the requirements. Of course, people are already planning. People are looking at dashboards, but the real requirements will kind of set in during the course of the year and not really necessarily at the beginning of the year. That's my personal estimation. And you don't never know how would this industry surprise you back.
Quite so. Well, that's pretty clear. Thank you. Yuvraj, we're coming to the end of our time, and thank you very much for coming to speak to us today. But if people want to find out more, then presumably they can go to the Verifavia website.
Exactly. Verifaviashipping.com is our website. Contact@verifaviashipping.com is the email address. And we've been incorporating requests almost on a daily basis. It indeed is a hot topic because we're doing demos of the platform almost on a daily basis. In the month of September, Mark, we are planning a webinar for the industry. Again, Verifavia webinars, because they are informative and knowledgeable. Last webinar, it was attended by 600 plus people. So we are looking for a huge crowd again at the webinar. And then end of the month, we're traveling to Hamburg last week of September to do an in-person seminar, something that we would do after 4 years. Last one we did September 2019 in Singapore. So this seminar should hopefully be well attended as well, since the topic is EU ETS and it's the need of the hour kind of stuff.
Okay, great. What date is that?
It is 25th September for now.
25th September. Very good. Okay, so mark your diaries out there, out in listener land. If you can get to Hamburg, that's the date to go. Brilliant.
Exactly. People in Hamburg are welcome at the webinar. Of course, we'll send email alerts and we'll send invites, so you would need to register and come back to us.
Very good. Okay. Well, Yuvraj, it's been great to have you on. Extremely informative. Thank you so much for taking the time, and really appreciate you doing that for us today.
Thank you so much, Mark. Really appreciate the opportunity, and I wish you a good rest of the day and a good upcoming weekend. Thank you so much.
Thanks. And to everybody out there in Nista land, thank you for coming to tune in again to another Ship.Energy podcast, and look out for the next episode, which will be coming out to you in early September. Thanks. And from Cambridgeshire, it's goodbye.